Greetings to each and every one of you. Good to see you out on this nice snowy day. Yes, there was answer to prayer. The Seahawks did win. Okay. Amazingly. The songs that were sung this morning go along with my message. And so we're going to look into the Word of God today and the importance of worship in the new year. And since twice my message has already been prayed for this morning by Randy and Rachel, we're going to go ahead and begin. So we're going to start with Revelation 4, verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created everything, and it's for your pleasure that they exist and were created. You need to realize you were made for God, and you have that built within you to worship God. Listen to what it says. Revelation 4, verse 11, that last part, for you created everything, it's for your pleasure, they exist, and were created. The Bible says you were created for God's enjoyment. God made you just to enjoy you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the only reason you're alive is because God wanted you alive and gets enjoyment out of watching you. I'm sure when your kids were small, you enjoyed watching them, or I enjoy watching my grandkids now when they come to our house and play and whatever we do together, play games. It's a joy to watch them. And I remember when my children were little. What a joy and privilege. And you can think back and reminisce of times that you enjoyed your children. Well, I want you to know God enjoys watching you. You were made for God's pleasure. When you were born and came out of the womb, God had a special plan and purpose for your life. One day Jesus was walking down the street and a guy comes along and says, Lord, what's the most important command in the entire Bible? And if you don't get anything else, get this. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 38 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus says, here's what you're supposed to do in life. You're supposed to learn to love me back because I love you and I know you and I want you to know and love me. Now, there's a word for this and it's called worship. Worship is knowing God loves you and loving him back. Now, the problem is worship is misunderstood today. A lot of people think, well, worship is coming to church, it's singing, it's praying, whatever, you know, it's communion. That's worship. That's part of it. And worship is your highest priority. What does a person look like when he worships? Are you thinking of somebody that's raising their hand and worshiping and praising God? But worship, that's part of it. But it's far more than that. There's a lot of ways to worship God. Now, you probably thought about what defines worship. And I have a verse that I really love in Romans 12, verse 1. This is what it says. So then, my brothers, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Now, I want you to know that is what worship is all about. I want to point out two things. First, worship is my response to God's love. My response to God's love. Worship is just the way I react and respond to God. Notice it says, because of God's great mercy, he loves us, then we worship him back. You see, in this case, God takes the initiative. God always makes the first move. He never asks you to make the first move. Just remember, he created you, he made you, he also forgives you, he saves you, he blesses you, he protects you. And then because of all these things that God has done for us, we worship him. And notice what it says, we offer. This describes worship. We offer ourselves unto God. And what a great, awesome God he is. And we worship him because of who he is. So, number two, the second thing is giving back to God. Worship is giving back to God. He gives to us and we give back to Him. And whenever you give back to God, whenever you offer yourself to God, that is worship. When your kids are grateful to you as a parent, that brings pleasure to you. Now, what do you give God who has everything? And you stop and think about it. He made the world, He made you, He made the universe, and etc. What do you give a God that has everything? You give Him your love. You give Him your love. Mark 12, verse 30, the New Century Version, I want you to listen to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, God wants you to love Him three ways. First, God wants you to love Him thoughtfully. It says, love with your mind. In other words, He wants you to think thoughtfully and to know and love Him thoughtfully. All right? So, then we got to realize the importance of the next point. Secondly, God wants you to love Him passionately. He says, with all your heart, with all your soul, I want you to love me passionately because I passionately love you. And number three, the third thing, I want you to love me practically. Love me with all your strength, with your abilities. You see, the truth is that even though God created the entire world and universe and He created you, there are three things that God doesn't have unless you give them to Him. He doesn't have your attention. He doesn't have your affection. And He doesn't have your abilities unless you give them to God. So, when you give them back to God, that's the heart of worship. Now, let's look at the importance of worship, all right? Number one, worship is focusing your attention on God. Worship is focusing your attention on God. You know, in a lot of religions, the idea of worship is to put your mind in neutral, sort of lose your mind to the universe. But the truth is, God wants us to worship Him thoughtfully. It takes energy. It takes your mind to be focused on God, which isn't always easy to do. Have you ever prayed on autopilot and you said a word over your food and so forth and somebody were to ask you what you said you wouldn't remember? And that reminds us it takes energy and attention to focus on God. You know why? Because God focused on you. God focused on you. What does the Bible say? Psalms 139, verse 1 through 3. You have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I'm resting or when I'm working, and from heaven you discover my thoughts. You notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Think about that. So God has focused His attention on you. God, He pays constant attention to you. He never takes His eyes off of you, and He never stops thinking about you. The reason is He made you so He could love you, and that's a great expression of love. You know, some men will say, well, you know, my wife and kids say, well, I don't really love them. And I have talked to men like this, and I say, why? Well, because, you know, I do work for them, and I spend my time and energy making a living. Yeah, I'm late sometimes at work and so forth and coming home, but I love them. That's why I do it. You know what they need, I've said, is your attention. They need you to focus on them once in a while. Remember when you fell in love? Can you think back that far? You couldn't get that person off your mind. You thought about them in the morning, when you were at work, in the evening, every moment you thought about them. Now, infatuation sometimes wears off, but the Bible tells us God's love is eternal. He's always focused on us, and He wants to teach us to focus our heart and attention on Him. And of course, that's difficult sometimes. It's difficult to focus on God because the easiest thing in life for us to do as human beings is to lose our focus. We have to decide to focus. I recall when I was 16 years old and worked in the woods with my dad, and I operated the loader, you know, the jammers, what they called it, and put the logs on top of the truck, you know, and pulled them out of the woods. Well, I had this girl that kind of liked me, and we had went out and parked by the stream and so forth, and I had my first kiss as a teenager. Well, the next few days at work, I tell you, it was hard for me to focus on what I was doing. And I recall one occasion, I was skidding a log out of the woods, and I forgot to stop at the deck and drop the log. I just kept going, and here it came up clear to the boom. And my dad said, "Son, what are you doing? Get your focus on what you're doing and get your mind off that girl." See, he knew I was. So, you know, there's that situation. We have to realize we can be easily distracted. But we have a God who loves us and cares for us. You know, we're self-centered by nature, and we need to realize how much God loves us and focus on Him. Look at this in Romans 8, verse 7. I love this in the Message Bible. Focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. Wow. Isn't that something? And then Romans 12, verse 2 in the Message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Hear me. We must choose to stop thinking about some things and start thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ even during the week. And we do that by establishing a time where we can set aside for God. I don't care when it is for you. It could be morning. You might be a morning person. It could be evening in the afternoon. It might be a coffee break, whatever. But each one of us needs a time where we focus our attention on God. Listen to Matthew 6, verse 16. Excuse me, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6 in the Message. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. You got to find a place to do this, and I don't care where it is. You know, I find myself at times in my bedroom just meditating on God before I go to bed, in the car, thinking about Him. You know, even on your job, there's times where you're going through routine that your mind can focus on God and all that He's done for you. You can worship God anywhere. Remember that. In your backyard, in your lawn chair. Not this time of year, but you could. All right. You know, I don't want you to be under pressure. Don't try to be spiritual. When you come to God, you don't have to put on a front, a facade. You just come as you are and talk to Him. Because if you focus your mind on God, He's the one that's going to make you spiritual. You don't have to do that yourself. It's God in you. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you'll find yourself being more in love with God all the time as you come before Him. And there's another thing you can do is focus on God. That's develop a constant conversation with God. Psalms 105, verse 2 through 4 says, "Sing praise to the Lord. Tell the wonderful things He has done. Be glad that we belong to Him. Let all who worship Him rejoice. Go to the Lord for help and worship Him continually." Just think about Him through the day. You have to decide to do that. I know, you know, people do that in a lot of different ways. I heard of this one guy that he set his clock on his wrist to go off about every hour so he could stop and stop and just most momentarily think about God. Think about his life and focus on God. So you develop a conversation with Him in your mind, in your thoughts. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in You, all whose thoughts are," what? "Fixed on You." So focus. When you focus on yourself, what does that bring a lot of times? Anxiety, worry, frustration. You think about your problems around you. But when you focus on God, you begin to have a sense of gratitude. You begin to have a sense of hope and confidence and love because of that. Let's go to point number two. Point number two, worship is expressing our affection to God. Worship is expressing our affection to God. Not only is worship focusing your attention on God, It's also expressing your affection to God. This is loving God with all your heart and with all your soul. And for some of you, this is difficult because you grew up in a family maybe where your parents didn't express love to you. I've talked to some in my ministry that said, you know what, Pastor? My mom or my dad never once told me they loved me. And you know, when I've talked and counseled people like this, they find it hard, really, to express their love to Jesus. Or maybe you're the silent type. It's not easy for you to express yourself. You have to develop that to say, I love you, Jesus. Remember the first time you fell in love with somebody and you didn't know whether they're going to respond positive to you? I remember as a boy, and you probably can remember as a boy or girl when you were a kid and you liked somebody, maybe you liked some boy or some girl, and you sent your friend to them and say, find out if they really like me. So you sent your friend, and you know, so-and-so, Lee, he really likes you a lot. And if they came back with a positive thing, boy, that's go for it. You know what I mean? You know, you just don't want to give yourself with, you know, when you're reluctant to know whether that other one really likes you. But the thing you need to realize, God has taken away the risk. He has told you first that he loves you. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Think about that. God loves you. In many religions, God is that angry tyrant, and they have to appease God or avoid God or run from God or be afraid of God. But that's not the real God. The Bible says God wants to be loved. Have you ever said, I love you, God? That's what God wants from you. Hosea 6, verse 6. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. If you get that done, you've accomplished the most important thing in life because worship is so important. And I want you to know your life is enveloped in God because he made you. And the most important thing that you can do in life is to love him back. So you get up every morning, and what you say is you get out of bed, you can do this, you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to accomplish today, but one thing I want to make my goal. I want to know you a little bit more. And I want to love you a little bit more. And I don't care how the day goes. If you have a bad day or things don't go as you planned, at the end of the day, if you know your Lord and Savior a little bit more and you love him a little bit more, your day was a success. You know, in this year of 2017, you may accomplish great things by the end of the year and achievements that you'll be proud of. But at the end of the year, if you look back and say, I really don't know God any better than I did, and I don't love him anymore. Believe me, you're a disaster and a failure when it comes to your spiritual life because you have not focused your attention and your affections upon the God who loves you and gave himself for you. There's an old song that says, I love him because he first loved me. And purchased my redemption on Calvary's tree. See, he loved us first. He has deep feelings for each and every one of us. Exodus 34, verse 14 says, you must worship no other gods but only the Lord, for he is God who is what? Passionate about his relationship with you. God is passionate about you. He longs to know you. He longs to have that relationship with you. You know, I've been married a long time to my wife. I'm glad that I did because she's a great woman. And I'm sorry she's not here because of the congestion and cold she's going through. But what if I went up to her and said, here's some flowers. Number one, I'm giving them to you because I'm your husband. Number two, it's our anniversary. And number three, husbands are supposed to give flowers to their wives. Here. You think she would respond positively to that? No, she would not. She wouldn't be thrilled. She wants me to love her passionately. She wants desire from me. And that's the way with God. God doesn't want, okay, I better worship. I love you, God. No, He wants our heart. He wants our relationship. And He's passionate about it because He created this. And I know this is hard sometimes for us to do, but express in your own way your love to God. So you say, well, it's hard for me to express. I know one way you can do it. Go outdoors and look at the beauty around you. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for the snow. Thank you that you made me. Thank you for the blue sky. Thank you for the rain. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive, that I have heat in my house. You know, begin to express what God has done to you and say, Lord, I know there's others maybe that aren't as fortunate as I am. But begin to develop that relationship. Everything you look at is a gift from God. So just by starting to think about God that way, you begin to express your love to God. Because some of you think the only way to worship, like I said, is you come to church and you sing some songs and maybe you raise your hands or you begin to praise Him. Of course, that's a great way to express your affection, but that's not all there is to it. The thing is, if you're not here and really developed a relationship with God, then you need to be like a couple that gets married, that come together and they say, I do. They exchange vows. What are they saying? I surrender myself to you. I give myself to you completely. You know, the thing is, you have to give. So when Jesus comes and gives to you, you need to realize when you express that there is something inside of you that begins to churn, and you say, oh, Lord, you've done so much for me. You died upon the cross for me. You begin to think of what He did just for you. Now, Romans 6, verse 13 says, don't let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, what does it say? Give yourself completely to God, since you have been given new life. And use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. So it says, give yourself completely to God since you have a new life. You've been given a new life. How is that? Through Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And you know, some people say, well, I'm afraid to give myself completely to God because I don't want to be a religious nut. You don't have to be afraid of that, friends. He's not going to turn you into some nutcase. Hear me. God doesn't want you to be a goofball. He's going to take you regardless of what your temperament is, no matter what your personality is. See, He made you, and He's going to use that for His honor and glory if you give your life to Him completely. And you can have a spirit-controlled temperament, and your personality and your temperament can be used for the glory of God wherever you are, at work, at home, whatever you are doing. The more you become what God means you to be, it takes the fear out of giving yourself completely to God. Liz Curtis Higgs was one of the best-known disc jockeys in America years ago. Howard Stern was on the AM and she was on the PM. And one day Howard Stern said to Liz, you know, you need to get your act together. Liz lived a horrible, sinful life. And I mean, if she was told by Howard Stern, well, you realize that she must have been pretty bad. But Liz had been hurt by so many men and burned by so many men and broken and all of these things. She became a militant feminist. But she had a girlfriend who was a Christian that kept inviting her to church. Finally, Liz says, okay, I'm going to go with you just one time. I'll go with you one time to church. So they went to church. And when they came to the sermon, the pastor, he was talking about husbands and wives. And wives, submit yourself to your husbands. And of course, she kind of sneered at that and kind of got a little ticked and angry. But she continued to listen. And then the next part, it said, husbands, you give yourself to your wives just as Christ sacrificed Himself for the church and died for her. And she realized it was saying, husband, she leaned over kind of cynical to her friend and said, I'd gladly give myself to a man who would die for me. Her Christian friend said, Liz, there is someone who has died for you, someone who loves you and has given himself for you. And to make a long story short, it wasn't too many days later that Liz committed her life to Jesus Christ. and she became a well-known author and speaker because she had a Christian friend that exhibited the love of Jesus Christ in spite of all the ugliness and corruption she had been through. She was changed by the love of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful change in our life has been wrought since Jesus has come into our hearts. And you say, Pastor Lee, this thing about loving God, you know I just don't love God enough. That's not the problem. You just don't realize how much God loves you. And when you begin to realize how much God loves you, and you say, how could I not love a God like that who loves me so much? Worship is always a response if we love God because he first loved us. We have to understand that. All right, number three, the last important part of worship for this year. Worship is using our abilities for God. Worship is using our abilities for God. Worship is focusing our attention on God, our affections on God, and then using my abilities for God. This is loving God with all your strength. You know, in my marriage, you know, my wife loves to hear me say I love you and kiss her and so forth, etc. But also another expression of love she likes is if I will do things for her, I will help her, I will do some errands, I will fix the garage or clean the garage or whatever. Sometimes these things are practical, but I'm using my ability, not just my words, to show that I really love her. So listen to Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for men. Now, I also like what the New Century Version says. Now, listen to this in Colossians 3, 23. In all the work you're doing, work the best you can. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people. Work as if you were doing for the Lord and not for people. Now, if you get this verse, it will absolutely revolutionize your life. You'll never be the same once you understand that verse. Some of you may be thinking, if my number one purpose is to get to know and love God, then I should have a time with God 5 hours a day. I should go to church every day. I should spend a lot more time reading and word, etc. And all those things are good, but you don't have to do that. What you need to do is realize worship is a 24-hour-a-day thing in your life as a Christian. What you do is you just change who you're working for. When you go to work, or when you're doing chores, or when you're cleaning the garage, or picking up things in the yard, or helping around the church, or you're shoveling snow, you're doing it for the Lord. Hear me, in life it's not what you do that matters, it's who you do it for. You give it all to God, regardless of what your occupation is. You could be a butcher, a candlestick maker, whatever, a baker. Now, you could be a carpet cleaner. I don't care what your occupation is, an attorney, a nurse, a mother raising children at home, an executive or manager. It really doesn't matter what you do, it's who you do it for. God doesn't care whether you're a truck driver or a doctor. But what you need to realize, like that verse says, you are doing it for the Lord and not for people. And that turns your work into worship because you want to do the best you can. When you go to your work and you have your day at work with your boss, you're giving the best of your ability because you recognize that you are doing this because God is there. You are doing your occupation for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants it to be your whole life to worship him. Now listen to this verse in the Message, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you and the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And like the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Notice it says here in verse 1, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God. It's what an offering. There it is again. Offering. That's worship. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. It just doesn't happen in church or a life group or a workout class or any time that you're with somebody else and you're singing and worshiping. That's not all there is to it. Everything you are involved in can be turned into an act of worship because you put your heart and soul in working for the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about that. When you get up Monday morning, say, this is a new day for me. Everything I do, it's going to be for the Lord and not for people. Yes, you're going to please your boss. You're going to do that. You're going to do the work that's well, but what you're doing is you're giving it excellence because you want to do the best for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So you're wired to worship. Everybody worships something. If you're not worshiping God, then you're worshiping something else. Like the former hit show American Idol. There's a lot of people that have American idols today right here in the United States of America. And it's not God. Think about what you pay attention to. What is your affections put on? What is your abilities given to? Is God a part of those? Are you thinking about Him? Do you ever focus your mind and attention upon God? The greatest temptation is to worship something else than our Lord and Savior. When you love something more than God, you have chaos, you have conflict, you have stress and problems in your life, and there's a lot of things you can focus on that are not pleasing to God. Psalms 37, verse 3 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. How many have found that true? You didn't know which way to go. You didn't know what to confront. God knows what you're going to confront in this new year, what the future holds for you in this new year. But let me tell you, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what you face, you can trust in Him. You can commit your life to Him, and He'll be there for you. He'll give you a peace that transcends all understanding. He'll guard your heart and life. In Christ Jesus, this will be accomplished. So take heart, friends. Have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Allow Him to be in control of your life. You know, God will work out wonders for you that you never thought possible. Joel Morgan had some missionary friends in Romania. And he wanted to visit them and encourage their hearts. So before he left, someone he knew who had been to Romania, he said, what can I take along? And the guy says, well, they don't have a lot of snack stuff over there. Why don't you take some things, you know, that would be helpful for you? And so he went to the store. He thought about what he should take. So he took some candy. He took some Reese's pizzas, buttercups. He took some tapioca pudding and some citrus fruits. And he went over there and spent a week with the missionary friends in Romania. At the end of that week, he thought, oh, I still have this sack of goodies in my suitcase. I think I'll play a little Santa Claus. The missionaries had two teenage daughters, young teenage daughters. And he said, all right, I know it's October, but this is going to be Christmas time for you. What would you like more than anything else if you could think of something that you'd like to eat? And the girls thought about it, and they were smiling. The mother said, you know what? They would like some Reese's buttercups. And he was amazed. He pulled out a big package of them and gave it to the girls. They were screaming with delight because here that happened. And then he thought, well, I might as well go for it. So he asked the mom, what would you like if you could have it. She said, you know, over here we can't get citrus fruit, and I sure would like some fruit. And to his amazement, you know, he brought it out, and tears were coming to his eyes as he thought about it. He said, here's a can of citrus fruit. Everybody was praising God and shouting, and he thought, well, I'll just bring out the other three articles, and Dad, he can choose what he wants. But something inside of him, the Lord said, go for it. So he said, what would you like if you could have it? And the dad said, you know, none of the family like it, but I just love tapioca pudding. Would you? And he, to his amazement, Joel brought it out and gave it. And they just had a hallelujah breakdown and prayer meeting right there to think of what God had done over a week ago, over 4,000 miles away. God had him choose these things to bring a blessing to those missionaries. God cares about every detail of our life. And I'm sure you could share stories and examples of how God cared for you in the smallest area of your life. He's worthy of our praise and our worship. When you understand how passionately he cares for you and loves you, and that he deserves our attention because he paid attention to you. He deserves your affection because he has affection and passionately loves you. And your abilities, you give them all to God. Whatever talents and gifts you have, everything belongs to God, and God will use each one of you differently and in different ways because he's blessed you with different gifts to be used for his honor and glory. And you know what? This will be a great year for you in this year because you will have learned the importance of worship in your life. Amen. While the praise team is coming, I want you just to think a moment about how you responded to God this past year. Did you do a lot of complaining? Were you upset? Were you bitter over a situation? Did you do and make wrong decisions for your life? We serve such a loving, merciful God. You can start anew in this new year. That's how much he loves and cares for you. He's a merciful God. He forgives, and he restores, and he makes all things new. That's the God we have today. Amen? Amen. Stand together. He is an awesome, and he's a great God. I think back to my dad, a gracious man, huge man, almost 6'5". And I recall the only time he heard me speak in a sermon. He traveled with me from Oregon up here, and I spoke at a church in Post Falls. And I remember on the way back, he put his arms around me and said, son, I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. That meant the world to me. And I thought about it after he was gone and up in glory, the times that we spent together, other times he told how much he loved me, of the fishing trips, the hunting trips, working in the woods together, of advice that he gave me, of spiritual input in my life. And I thanked my dad over and over again in my heart for how he raised me. And I thought about our Lord, our Heavenly Father, who I believe is looking down on you with his love and mercy. He wants to be proud of you. Just listen to his voice as you read the word or you pray or commune with him this year. Let him have his way in your heart and life. And you can feel his spiritual hand reaching out and saying, I'm so proud of you. As this year comes to an end, the Lord should tarry. You have fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. You've served me. And the day's going to come when we're going to spend eternity with our Lord. And he's going to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joys before you. That's going to happen. When you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Don't let him go. No matter what temptation comes your way, no matter what problem comes your way, or the frustration that you face, keep your mind focused on God. Your attention, your affections, your abilities, give them all to God. And he will do a great work. He has a plan and a purpose which will be fulfilled in this year of 2017. How many can say, I want God's best for my life this year? Amen, I do. And I want you to have the best. I want you to live in victory, overcoming life. Head up, smile on your face, because the victory is yours through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this morning. Your blessing upon every young person, every mom and dad, every single adult that is here. May we go recognizing that your hand is upon us. Lord, each and every day, you're guiding, you're directing us. Lord, may we be sensitive to your will and purpose for our life. And Lord, we know everything we do is to honor and worship you. And we do honor you today together. In your name we dismiss with your grace and blessing. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.